Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning to our second to the last program of the calendar year. I want to remind you that we have one more program this year. Next week, we'll be speaking with Superintendent Contreras, and then we will take a break, a long semester break, until the first week in February. And we've been lining up some great programs for February that you'll be hearing about. Among others, we'll be hearing from President Wheeler, Dr. Wheeler from ESF. We will be having a panel on some entrepreneurial philanthropy programs, and it goes on and on. So, something to look forward to. I hope you all had a lovely Thanksgiving and are excited to be back. As you know, we're going to be talking today about Consensus CNY and the Local Commission on Local Government Modernization. It's a topic that we've talked about many times before, and it's a topic that's been studied by the Onondaga Citizens League and by a number of students, and one person who has probably been involved in more studies on local government consolidation or consolidation of services than anyone else is Carol Dwyer. So I've asked Carol to introduce today's program and today's speakers. Thank you, Carol.
Good morning, everyone. Some of you are familiar with the book of Ecclesiastes. Others, however, may recognize the same words written by King Solomon, put to music by folk singer Pete Seeger, and then later on the rock group The Birds. And here's my version. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to reach consensus, a time to look at the 19 towns, 15 villages, the city, the county, 36 municipalities, which includes 57 fire departments, for a community of approximately 500,000 people. A time to dissect and look inside, a time to rebuild in a new configuration, a time to dream about what this community can become, a time for local government to enter the 21st century, a time to say that this is the time. While there have been many examples of shared services and cost-saving measures among local governments after years of studies and comprehensive news coverage, it appears that serious movement is in the air. If this happens, it is thanks to the consensus leadership, which is chaired by past president of SUNY ESF, Neil Murphy, retired attorney Catherine Richardson, and former Congressman James Walsh. Presenting the baseline report today is Consensus B. Gonzalez, Consensus member B. Gonzalez, who I think everyone here already knows as being Dean of University College. She is a former member of the Common Council and a former commissioner of the Board of Education. She has been involved in this community in so many ways that I'm sure that each one of you have come across her path in some capacity. Also here today is the consultant for Consensus, who is data guru, Dr. Joseph Stefko. He has gone to the University of Buffalo, where he obtained his undergraduate and graduate degrees in political science, and then went on to obtain his PhD from there. And we're not going to hold that against him. In the Onondaga Citizens League study in 1992 of local governments, many of the municipalities that participated argued that consolidation was not feasible because they were so unique and that no one did it better than they did. More than two decades have passed, but it is clear that taxpayers can no longer afford this abundance of governance or the purchase of multiple armored vehicles because departments do not play well together. Many government and civic leaders view this as a major deterrent to economic development, and I think this is borne out by the data from the Tax Foundation. We rank 40th of all states in sales tax burden, and we're getting worse. We were 38. We are 46th in property taxes. We were 45th. Our overall ranking is 49th, but this is the good news. We were 50th. That honor now goes to New Jersey, and I find it ironic that both of the governors of New Jersey and New York, who are who lead the states with the greatest tax burden, are both considered to be presidential candidates, possibly, and I'm assuming that they will run on a platform of change. Lee Smith, the founder of TMR and OCL, espoused a vision of metropolitan government close to four decades ago, so it is very appropriate that this presentation occurs in this venue. Please welcome Joe and Bea this morning.
Buenos dias, good morning. So I'm really just the warm-up act because the real deal is Dr. Joe. He's got all the data. So I'm just, who's gonna, I cannot click. I'm not that coordinated. I cannot talk and click at the same time. I'm too present in what I gotta say to worry about that thing. So anyway, just a little background and just a memory of where we've been. So it was 9 months ago or so that the consensus team was here. Our co-chairs introduced the study and the project. It was launched with support from Senators DeFrancisco and Valesky, and ongoing support from them, and supported by the mayor, the county executive, and the town and village mayors and supervisors and the common council. So this has, you know, it took years, right, 40 years? Did Carol tell us? We've been talking about this for 40 years, so here we are. 40 years later, we finally got to the place where we can have a conversation. And a lot of people have worked really hard to get us to this place where we can have a conversation. The Center for Government Research, as Carol said, CRG, was hired to lead us through this project in June. And those were timelines that were set, and we've met those timelines, and we're really excited that we met that. Here's our partners, again. Everyone engaged in this process for a very long time, but a special shout out once again to our senators, John DeFrancisco and David Valesky. Through consensus, right, this is the opportunity. In some instances, what we're looking for here is, as Catherine said to TMR, the stars were aligned and we were ready to go. The taxpayers were ready. They were looking for more cost-efficient government. Local government was looking for ways to deal with the fiscal stresses and unsustainable costs they were managing. And local leadership was ready with a willingness to collaborate and support. And I will tell you that we've learned through this process that there's a lot of informal collaboration going on in our community, right? And this process may be a way to help us codify some of that and really live by it as an everyday, not as a because I know you or because of whatever. We want to make this stuff real. So what are we going to do? Consensus is looking at every level of service. Our public engagement component is getting ready to kick off once the report is offered up next week. We're exploring a wide range of solutions, and we're looking for solutions from everyone, right? Everyone's input is going to be valued and sought after. We want to make our government more responsive, more cost-effective, and really, we just want better service. Or continue high level of service, because in some cases we have excellent service, but it's the cost of that service that's problematic. So, and then we want to define, right, how we want to be organized and governed locally, and the things that are going to, our values that we want to stick by as we do that. And finally, we want to complete this process with recommendations by 2015 and have our communities make decisions to move forward beyond that. The reality is that we want to create a sustainable future for our community. That's where we're going. Now it's my pleasure to introduce what you really want to hear and who you really want to hear, and that is Dr. Joe Schlefko from CRG. He's just finished the data collection and baseline analysis phase, and we're entering the critical public engagement phase of our study. After the December 12th commission meeting, there'll be a full baseline report available and will be voted for acceptance, and then it'll be released to the public. And it'll be on our website, and you'll probably be seeing bits and pieces of it across multiple media. And then the real work will begin, right? And that'll be the work of putting a process in place to really make our recommendations for real. So with that said, Dr. Joe, it's all yours.
Thanks, Bea. Good morning, everybody. Happy holidays. Great, thank you. It is funny how so many years later, Sandra, the phrase long semester break still warms my heart. The great introduction from B to just set the stage here. So what I wanted to do was jump into where we are in the process and share some of the key pieces of information that have come out of the first component of the commission's work so far. Just to create a framework in everybody's heads as to how this process is structured. CGR has done this over the last probably 6 or 7 years in about 72 or 73 communities at all different scales. Regional scales, we did the same process in Northeast Ohio spanning 16 counties surrounding the city of Cleveland. We've done it in the smallest town and village combinations in New York State and really everything in between. But our approach to those projects is common in that it breaks down into two basic components. The first is what I want to share with you today, and that's our baseline or existing conditions phase. It is a rather clinical phase where we tell our commission, our study committee, and ultimately the broader community, here's what you have today. Here's what exists. We're not drawing any conclusions about what's right or what's wrong, what's good or what's bad, what could be. We're simply creating a shared knowledge base for the commission and the community to move forward from before we start to talk about options. And then once we make that pivot point, the second component of the process is our options phase. And that's where we begin this visioning process, comparing what we have today to what could be tomorrow and further down the road. So again, the options phase will be forthcoming as we move further into 2015. But what we want to share with you today is really the sum and substance of the baseline or existing conditions review. I just alluded to this, but I want to reinforce the point. As I share data with you today, the baseline review is not an evaluation of effectiveness or efficiency. In some cases, and in many of your minds, the numbers are going to speak pretty loudly for themselves. But that's not our intent. Our intent is to tell you and tell the commission what currently exists in the local government universe across Onondaga County. Again, it's not a determination of what's right or appropriate or what shouldn't be. It's also not a set of recommendations. So if you come to the baseline report when this gets rolled out to the community over the next several weeks, expecting to see recommendations for we should go from this number of governments to that number of governments, or we should go from this number of service providers to that number of service providers, you'll be disappointed. At least in the baseline report. We're trying to create that shared factual knowledge base about what exists. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this slide, but when you do see the baseline report in the coming weeks, it's really structured around three basic sections. The first, I'm going to spend most time today sharing with you data from sections 1 and section 3 of that baseline review. The first section is an overview. It's what the local government universe across Onondaga County looks like today. How many we have, who's doing what, how much they're spending, how much they're spending in common functional areas, how that's changed over time, where their dollars come from, and how the revenue streams differ by type and level of government. In section 2, we actually have for each general purpose local government all 36 of them, plus the separately reporting special districts in Onondaga County. We have standard presentation of data on their size, their expenditures, their expenditure and revenue trends over the last 5 years and over the last 10 years, how their budgets are structured, the service areas that they're involved with. So Section 2, once the report is released, will give you an ability to do a quick compare and contrast from your home municipality to any other across Onondaga County. And then the third section really looks at individual service areas as the unit of analysis. So whereas the first section and the second section look at the city, the county, towns, and villages as the unit of analysis, Section 3 looks at functional areas: police, fire, tax assessment, tax collection, courts, and so on. So let me before I get into the actual data here, provide some context for you. The first point that I'll make, this is a critically important one, is that the consensus process really is the next step in a dialogue that's been taking place in this community in various forms and at various levels for a long time. We've already heard reference to some of the local government efficiency studies that have been done in the past and some of the different groups that have been involved in that. I also think it's important to acknowledge in the context of this study, you know, we spent really the first 2 to 3 months of this study sitting down and doing one-on-one interviews and focus groups with nearly every chief elected official for all the local governments across Onondaga County. Asking them what they're doing, what they think they're doing well, what their biggest challenges are, how the job has changed in the last 5 years, the last 10 years. Economically and fiscally, the local government universe has really been turned on its ear since the recession, certainly since about 2009, 2010. Nonetheless, there are a lot of really good things already happening between and among local governments in this county. Informal shared services, the informal sharing of manpower or capital assets, capital equipment to do big jobs, particularly in the public works and highway and streets arena. We also have formal intermunicipal agreements, contract-based partnerships between and among local governments across this county. And it's important to recognize that. Number one, because it acknowledges that efforts have already been taken to share and cooperate in the best interests of taxpayers and the businesses that call this region home, number one. But number two, it's also important to recognize that because, at least in my experience of doing this, a lot of times communities will come at a process like this with some hesitation. Collaborating is intimidating. Collaborating or sharing services, sharing information with communities that, you know, in some ways we're in competition with, can be difficult to do. The reality is that we're already doing this. We already see a reasonably strong foundation of this across Onondaga County. So consensus really is an opportunity to build on that strong foundation. The second issue, and this was alluded to as well, it's no surprise that competitiveness in this region, frankly, competitiveness across upstate New York in a lot of ways, across the Northeast and Midwest, remains an issue. Population loss, population stagnation at best, in a lot of upstate New York communities. Onondaga County's countywide population peaked in 1970, I believe. Somebody used the number 500,000. We're currently at about 468,000 in population in Onondaga County. So we're not growing as a whole. There are a variety of reasons for that. And many of them aren't specific to this region, but competitiveness remains an issue. We also have the issue from an economic competitiveness standpoint of our tax levels. Every year the Tax Foundation puts out rankings of communities across the country. New York has, somebody mentioned, I think Carol mentioned, has bumped from 50th to 49th, so we're rapidly moving up the list, courtesy of New Jersey. However, when you look on a county-by-county basis, and specifically property taxes as a percentage of home value, New York really owns the top 13 or top 14 places on that list. I think in the most recent Tax Foundation ranking, Onondaga County on that statistic ranked 14th. the 14th highest tax burden as a percentage of property value of all the counties in the nation. The third piece I want to point out, and this is something that we spend a little time on in Section 1 of the baseline review, is the very real existence of economic connections across this region. We did something as simple as looking at census commuting data. And in of the 34 local government, I'm sorry, of the 35 local government jurisdictions, excluding the county, but the 35 local government jurisdictions in Onondaga County, in all but one of them, the city, because it's really the hub, the economic hub and the job center for the region, in all but the city, a majority of residents leave their home municipality to go to work in another municipality. In 20 towns and villages in this county, more than 4 out of 5 residents leave their home community and go to work in another community. Yet it's often challenging when we start to talk about intermunicipal services and we start to talk about collaboration. Again, those walls go up and it could be seen as intimidating. Well, this is my town, this is my village, this is my community. Well, it's my community from, you know, sundown to sun up, and then I go to another community to conduct economic activity. So again, we want to point out that those economic connections are real, those economic connections exist, and in 20 communities across this county, more than 80% of residents in those towns and villages are getting up and going to work in another municipal jurisdiction every day. So let's set the geographic framework for this. I apologize because over the next 15 seconds, we're going to add a lot of lines to this map. So you see Onondaga County and you see the city of Syracuse. Only one city in Onondaga County, of course. We do have 19 towns. Within those 19 towns, we have 15 villages. This is the focus of the Commission on Local Government Modernization. For this component of the study, we're looking at these general purpose local governments and the special district governments that overlap these general purpose governments. But just so that we're familiar with the full universe, we throw school district boundaries in here as well. School district boundaries, of course, complicate the collaboration discussion because they don't necessarily follow municipal boundaries, right? So within one town, we can have 3 or 4 or 5 school districts, which means 3 or 4 or 5 different budget votes and 3 or 4 or 5 different tax rates. So this is the local government universe in Onondaga County. So let me share some of the high-level statistics with you that you'll see in the baseline report as it's released. Again, we have 36 general purpose, what I call general purpose local governments in this county, and there you see that 468,000 population statistic. We have one county, of course, one city, 19 towns, and 15 villages. Every taxpayer in this county is served by and pays taxes to at least 2 of these general purpose local governments. Across those 36 general purpose local governments, there are actually 37 different permutations of local government layering in Onondaga County. So those who live in the city of Syracuse are served by the city and the county. Those that live in the unincorporated parts of towns in this county, that means you don't live in a village, you live in a town, but you don't also live in a village, are served by the county and their town government. We have 19 of those instances. And then we also have 17 instances of layering that includes at the most local level a village government with a town government on top of it, with the county government on top of that. And the reason for the discrepancy between the number of villages and the number of permutations on villages is because we have, I believe there are 2 instances in the county where we have a village that exists in 2 towns at the same time. So the village itself is not contained within one town. I'm sorry to complicate this. At the very first meeting we had with the Consensus Commission back in June, I guess it was, before I put this slide up, I asked for people's best estimate as to what the total local government spend was in Onondaga County in 2013. The closest we got in terms of estimates was $1 billion. The reality is that in 2013, the county, the city, the towns, the villages combined to spend $1.8 billion. It's important to recognize that with government scale comes government cost. So the county, as the biggest government, as the only truly regional service provider, accounted for 2/3 of that total. But that $1.8 billion in total is the equivalent of about 6% of the regional GDP. And the regional GDP is actually a multi-county GDP figure. That's how the Bureau of Economic Analysis calculates it. So if we were to break that down just to Onondaga County, the share of GDP would actually be higher than 6%. But you see how that breaks down. The county, about $1.2 billion, the city, about $326 million, and then you see the town, the village, and the fire district share. It's important to point out when we're talking about fire districts, number one, we don't have a per capita number for fire districts because fire districts don't follow municipal or census-designated boundaries. Right? A fire district is typically going to include only a portion of a municipality, so we don't have a population count for just that portion of the municipality. So as a result, we can't calculate per capita numbers for it. But the true fire service cost in Onondaga County is more than just this fire district number. Because within the city, the town, and the village budgets, we have fire expenditures that don't show up as fire districts. So I just want to make that clarification. But because fire districts, under New York state law, are separately reporting units of government, we break them out here. From 2003 to 2013, local government spending grew by about 40%, which exceeds the rate of inflation, which was a little higher than 29%. And you see the changes really varying by levels of government. Now, it's important to point out that whenever you do an analysis like this, you know, we're taking point-in-time snapshot views of individual governments and then individual layers of government. There are, in some years, more significant capital expenditures than in other years. So looking at that point-in-time snapshot, occasionally we see blips. But again, if we look at this over a 10-year time horizon, in aggregate, that total local government spend in Onondaga County grew by 40%. Several slides ago, I had the school boundaries up as well. In that, it's important to realize that in that $1.8 billion figure, the school number is not included. That's an additional, I believe, $1.4 billion and change. So general purpose local governments and fire districts, the focus of the commission right now, account for about 56% of total local government spending. So here's how it breaks out. The county, as I said, is a little more than 2/3 of that total figure, of that $1.8 billion figure. The city, about 18%. Town governments, that town layer of government, about 10%. Villages, 4%. A couple of points to note on these numbers. First of all, the differences, in many cases, reflect a different menu of services that are provided. Again, they don't necessarily reflect greater or lower levels of efficiency in service delivery. In many cases, they're reflecting different types of services, different levels of services. We have some municipalities in Onondaga County that provide, Village of Solve is an example, municipal power. That's a unique service. Not every local government does that. But as a local government service, it's, in their case, offset by ratepayers, but as a local government service, that's a local government responsibility that ends up in their numbers. So their numbers, as a total expenditure figure, are higher than their peer villages. Again, it's important to recognize that it's not because they're more or less efficient necessarily, but because they provide a service that many of their peers do not. So in this sense, there are stories behind all of these numbers. And that really becomes the Commission's primary focus as we pivot to the next phase, teasing out what the stories are behind those numbers so that we can better understand the service level differentials that exist across Onondaga County. Let's talk about property tax for a moment. Property taxes themselves in 2013 accounted for about 18% of total local government revenues. The reliance on property taxes varied based on which level of government we're talking about. The city, which is more reliant than other levels of government on state funding, on federal funding in some cases, relied on the property tax for about 10% of its budget. That figure is 12% in the county. Towns and villages, not just in Onondaga County, but across New York State, are generally more reliant on property taxes. So you see the 27% for villages and the two-thirds for towns. Two-thirds of town budgets are funded by property tax revenue. I want to point out the last bullet here. The difference between tax bases as we go from the regional level to the smallest level. The county budget, the county property tax levy, is spread on a countywide property tax base, right? That property tax base is $27 billion this year. The taxable base is $27 billion. So that levy gets spread across $27 billion worth of property taxpayers. Moving down a level to the city, the city's tax base this year is about $3 billion. So their tax levy is spread across a base that is, about one-tenth, almost one-tenth the size of the counties. If we go down to the next level, town governments have tax bases as low as $120 million. So we've now moved down, we've taken a few more zeros off of that. Right? So the tax bases, as we get down to the lowest level of government, the most local level of government, are getting smaller. Our village tax levies are spread across tax bases that are as small as $12 million. So we've gone from $27 billion for the only truly regional service provider to spread that property tax levy across, down to $12 million for the smallest of our villages. Where are we spending the money collectively? Well, the single biggest functional category in which we're spending the money is actually a regionally centralized service under New York State law, and that's social services. $267 million were spent in social services exclusively by the county in 2013. And then we see a largely centralized service, sewer, up near the top of that list as well. Public Works, $141 million, is entirely decentralized. We have 36 general-purpose local governments in Onondaga County. We have 36 highway and public works departments. $88 million for police, $66 million for public health. I will note, and you'll see this in the next bullet here, those numbers do not include employee benefits. They do not include health insurance. They do not include pension. Employee fringe benefits is the single largest expenditure area, bigger than any of those functional specific areas. I believe the number for fringe benefits is about $320 million as of last year. You'll be able to see this graph in greater, or this mapping in greater detail once the baseline report is released. But the far left-hand column are each of those expenditure, those expenditure areas, those cost centers. Each block, reading from left to right, is a local government unit in this county that spends at least $10,000 in that cost center. So you see everybody spending in fringe benefits, almost everybody spending in debt service. The vast majority are spending in fire and public works and legal and so on. So So let me just take a few minutes here and share with you some of the data from the service profiles. I'm not going to go through all of the service areas here. Section 3 of that baseline review you'll see in the coming weeks actually breaks out each functional area, provides summary data on how many service providers we have, how much is spent collectively, how much is spent individually on a per capita or per square mile basis, how do we compare, how do local governments compare across the community, across the county. I thought it would be helpful to share with you two or three service areas that no doubt have received a lot of attention as conversations on local government efficiency have gone on over the past couple of decades here in the Syracuse region. So let's start with police. It's a service that really in any community where we do this work is the most visible, is one of those services that taxpayers, particularly in smaller municipalities that have police departments, really serves as the as one of their primary interfaces with their local government. There goes the police car. It has our town logo on it, or it has the city, or it has the village logo on it. I know who's driving that car. That's where my tax dollars are going. So in that sense, it's a very visible service, a much more visible service than, say, a tax collection or financial administration or budget, which is more of back office or payroll, right? More back office functions. When we talk about police, when we talk about public works, when we talk about fire, we're talking about services that are really the face of local governments in a lot of ways. So the gray areas on this map are areas that are served, areas where the Onondaga County Sheriff serves as the primary law enforcement agency. Those areas, again, in gray, are areas that do not have their own municipal police department, a city police department, a town or a village police department. The areas that are otherwise colored are the areas, the municipal jurisdictions, that have their own municipal police department. So, of course, you see in yellow the city of Syracuse, and then you see towns and villages primarily in that northern half of the county, that have their own municipal police departments. So we actually have 15 local-level government-based law enforcement agencies serving Onondaga County. That does not include the New York State Police. The State Police, of course, have patrol responsibilities for portions of the county, primarily the thruway, the expressways. The 15 local government jurisdictions that have their own law enforcement agencies, of course, the city, the county, 5 towns and 8 villages. There's an asterisk there. Why? Because East Syracuse is in the process of phasing out its department. I believe that takes effect in January 1. So that 8 figure will go to 7. There are 4 law enforcement agencies in the county, including the county sheriff, but also 3 town-based police departments that serve multiple jurisdictions. So 4 of those 15 departments serve multiple local government jurisdictions. The other 11 serve a single municipality, including the city of Syracuse. And again, take you back to a few slides ago where we talked about the difference in terms of tax base capacity and how we spread these costs over a large base versus over a smaller, narrower base. The county is funded, the county sheriff, of course, is funded through the countywide property tax base. Frankly, even if you live in a town or a village that has its own police department, you're also paying for the county sheriff. The municipal agencies are funded through those smaller municipal tax bases. There is local government collaboration in this community, not unlike what we see in pretty much every other community where we've done work like this. It is based primarily around mutual aid. And by that, I mean in instances of significant events we can have multiple jurisdictions participate in a response, or multiple jurisdictions provide backup while one agency is fully involved in responding to a significant event. We also have cases where, particularly on off hours, where we'll have routine backup happening between members of neighboring police departments, where we might have fewer boots on the ground, fewer police officers on the streets at certain parts of the day. So as one gets called to a particular incident, another agency can migrate over toward the municipal border and provide some backfill support in the event it's needed. We've seen some restructuring, some high-profile restructuring in terms of the delivery of police services in Onondaga County over the last couple of decades. Very recently, I mentioned the ongoing East Syracuse phase-out. Clay in 2008, shifting to the county, then shifting away from a county contract, and now protected like all of those other gray areas where it's simply the county as the primary service provider. And in the mid-1980s, we had the town of Manlius consolidate to serve the three villages within the town of Manlius. Just to give you a flavor for the kind of data that we have in the individual service profiles in the baseline review, and also to give you a sense of the diversity of scale for the departments that serve Onondaga County. Even if you look at if you take the Onondaga County Sheriff's jurisdiction, the kind of full countywide land area off the table, and look just at those municipal departments, in terms of square mileage, the municipal department that serves the largest area is the town of Manlius, just shy of 50 square miles. The municipal department that serves the smallest area is the village of Marcellus, a little over a half a mile. So that dictates the size of the department. It dictates the cost of the department. It dictates the staffing investment that the department requires. And you see similar variations on population. The city of Syracuse, of course, serving the 145,000 or so residents, plus the influx that economic activity brings on a daily basis. The smallest from a population standpoint would be the village of Jordan at about 1,300 residents. But these are the key statistics on those jurisdictions that have their own municipal police departments. So maybe we have time for one more service area, and then we can move into to Q&A on the data and on the process. But so we'll go from police into public works. Public works is a really interesting one. I mentioned at the outset, 36 general purpose local governments. We have 30, so we have no gray area in this map. Everything is a different color. We have 36 local governments. We have 36 public works agencies. And just like with police, that does not count the State Department of Transportation. So the county has an agency, the city has a department, the 19 towns, the 15 villages. The county has countywide jurisdiction, right? There are county pieces of county infrastructure that the county has responsibility for throughout the county, not concentrated in any one part of the county. The municipal agencies serve the municipal infrastructure only within their jurisdiction. Again, it's important to point out here, the county public works function is funded by the entire countywide $27 billion property tax base. The municipal public works functions are funded by those smaller municipal tax bases. We do see a significant amount of local government collaboration. Public works is an interesting area, not just in this community, but in a lot of the other areas where we've worked. Interestingly, much of the collaboration, I'd say the majority of the collaboration that takes place in public works and streets and highways, is informal, right? I'm a public works superintendent. In a village. I'm doing a big paving job in our central business district this week. And so I'll call the highway superintendent in the town in which my village exists. And can I have a paver and a couple of guys for that job next week? And the highway superintendent will say, yeah, that actually works out well because we have to do some culvert work the beginning of next month. And if we can use your backhoe and get a couple of your guys for that, you'll be able to return the favor to work out well. There is a significant amount of that informal cooperation that already exists, is happening day in and day out across Onondaga County. And in instances where it works because people can get along and the personalities can mesh. We've also seen, we've not gotten to this point in dealing with folks in Onondaga County yet, but I can tell you from personal experience in other communities, in other counties and other regions where we've done this work, where when the personalities don't mesh, the informal cooperation quickly goes away, can quickly evaporate. So it's the difference between a formal contract-based arrangement versus an informal handshake agreement. But there is a lot of this going on across the county right now. Just like with police services, we have a real wide range in service levels across the county. The largest public works agency in Onondaga County, from a land area standpoint, of course, is Onondaga County's Public Works Department, serving all 780 or so square miles of the county. The smallest is less than 1 square mile. And we have several that are less than 4 square miles across the county. The diversity of service responsibilities that those departments bear is directly tied to the size of their geographic area, the density of their development. You think about the difference of plowing rural roads versus plowing roads in a more densely developed urban corridor, central business district, a more densely developed village, right? It requires different equipment. It requires different procedures. So maybe what I'll do with fire here before I close is just share with you the map. It makes the public works map look rather tame. As Carol mentioned, there are 57 fire departments serving Onondaga County. They are a variety, they represent a variety of different types. There are municipal fire departments. The city of Syracuse is the biggest example of that in the region. We also have some village fire departments in the region, funded by taxpayers within that municipal jurisdiction. We have what are called fire districts, which are separately reporting, separately accountable levels of government under New York state law. So these are districts that are created that have their own taxing authority. I believe there are 12 of those in the county. And then we have a series of what are called fire protection districts, which are essentially independent fire departments, independent fire companies, 501c3s, that contract with town governments across the county to service specific geographic areas. And only the residents within that geographic area pay for the delivery of that service and the capital and manpower costs that are necessitated. So let me leave it there. I'm happy to entertain any questions that folks have about the process, about the data, or about where we're going next. But let me just close on one point that was already referenced by, I think B referenced this point. The commission process really is, in a lot of ways, just getting started. The baseline data collection has been going on since June or July. And with this shared common factual knowledge base in place, it really gives the commission and, frankly, the broader community, the entire region, an opportunity to start visioning about what works, what doesn't work, what's important to us as residents, as taxpayers, as businesses in this community, and what might some alternatives be going forward that we can compare to the status quo. That becomes a big component of the options phase. It's not just visioning for the sake of visioning. It's visioning in an attempt to identify alternatives to what we have today that could be better from a service efficiency, service effectiveness, and certainly an economic competitiveness standpoint. So happy to answer questions that folks have. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. I wanted to point out that not only is Joe, Dr. Stefko, a data guru, but CGR, the Center for Governmental Research, has been doing this work in a lot of jurisdictions for a number of years. And in fact, 9 years ago or so, Kent Gardner, his predecessor as president, came and spoke to us when we were doing our consolidation study. So, and also, just if you flip to the end of your presentation, I know you'll have the website for Consensus CNY, where people will be able to find the report once the commission approves it. But even right now, I know there's a lot of data because all the commission meetings have been public and the slide presentations have been put on the website. So there's so much more. Lance, would you stand?
You mentioned briefly that excluded from your figures was the $1.4 billion expenditure for public education in Onondaga County. What has been your charge from the from consensus relative to public education, and is it specifically excluded?
For this phase of the process, our charge is to focus on general purpose local government. You can understand that, well, first of all, general purpose local government is the majority of the total local government expenditure. If we include school districts in that pot, it's about 56.5% of all the local government dollars that get spent in Onondaga County. So we're grabbing a majority of the expenditures, number one. But number two, you know, I'll say that, you know, my experience working on this in other communities argues pretty strongly that an effort like this really needs to, from the beginning, prioritize. And trying to look both at education and general purpose local government simultaneously would be a pretty overwhelming undertaking. So the charge for right now is general purpose local government.
Beyond all the numbers and all the analysis, at this stage, you have been working with officials in local government. Some would say that in this area of central New York, people are resistant to change. What is your sense that officials in local government will be willing to accept recommendations, will be willing to make some changes, or will this just be another report?
You want to toss that one to B? No.
You sure, go ahead, B.
The time, there's no better time than now because everybody seems ready to at least have the conversation. And that's the best we can hope for. And we're hoping that with the data that we're going to that the commission is putting together through the research, that'll give us that baseline that we need to have a really courageous conversation about opportunities and next steps for us in terms of efficiency and better services for ourselves.
You know, let me build on that. You know, I think there's in every community where we've done this kind of work, there is inherent hesitation to have the serious conversations. Issues of local identity come up, issues of local control, democratic access to my local elected officials. Those are all questions that come up and really make it difficult to build momentum in a change process. But what I will say, another element of the timing component here, is that in terms of the local government arena in this community and really across the country, but especially in the Northeast, the last 4 or 5 years have really turned the local government world on its ear. Managing local government today is considerably more difficult than it was 10 years ago. The resources are more limited. The costs are escalating at, in some cases, uncontrollable, unsustainable rates. And particularly in communities where we don't have robust growth in population and tax base, you know, the demand for those services and the demand for quality services has not abated. So we have this, you know, this growing gap between what we're doing and what's sustainable. And so I think that there are some basic economic and fiscal pressures that have really served to rapidly change the tenor of these conversations. We may find that, you know, is borne out in this community as well, but we've certainly seen it in other places.
You talked about the delivery of municipal services, but one of the things that you haven't mentioned so far is control of our development future, whether we're sprawling all over the world, which is in part in this county determined by the Onondaga County Water Authority, which is a state agency. Municipalities, towns, and villages make development decisions and permit it. The county has a very weak power to encourage cooperation and good patterns. But if you want to build whatever and there's no sewer capacity, there can be extremely heavy pressure to get that capacity wherever. Mm-hmm. So it's not just service delivery. It's control of our future.
Okay. Thank you.
I just want to follow up on the question about the local officials, elected officials, being ready for consolidation. Excuse me. I think it's more of a concern as to the constituents that they represent. It's their perception of what their constituents are ready for. Mm-hmm. And over this last 40-year period, when the OCL and others have been doing studies, when you do polling, the residents of a particular small community still want to keep their identity. They still want to keep their particular level of government because, as part of the aggregate, it's not that much more money. So what is the plan for the public? I know you've got public information coming out, but what's the plan for steering the conversation so that everybody understands what they're spending, not only locally, but as a community, so that the elected officials can then reflect a different will of the people than what they think it is?
I appreciate the question. It's a critically important point. An active, aggressive, and direct public engagement strategy from one side of the county to the other. We are, being in the baseline phase, there really is a focus on data collection right now. But coming out of the baseline phase, building off of the report that will be released over the next several weeks, and then segueing into the options phase of this, there will be a series of public meetings, public forums throughout the county. I can tell you that two governments that serve Princeton, New Jersey, just merged as of January 1 of 2013. We were the director, the project manager for that consolidation, worked with them for several years. During their study process alone, it's about 40,000 residents compared to 468,000 residents, right? But they held 76 different public events as big as, meeting in the public library, the Princeton Public Library arena, with probably 300 or 400 people in the audience, to going block club presidents' homes and meeting with 4 or 5 residents of a particular neighborhood. That's the kind of strategy that's really required to reach out and touch taxpayers. So it's not just working with the local government officials, the elected officials, but it's working through and with and helping to educate, to inform, and also to be informed by the concerns, the desires, the wants, the needs of those that are living in Onondaga County, those that are living in our individual community. So absolutely an aggressive and robust public engagement strategy is essential over the next year to 18 months.
So if you want to get in touch with the commission, go to their website, consensuscny.com, and they will come out to your organization and do a presentation. We have time for one quick question, I think.
Hi, Joe. Hi. Can you talk a little bit about how this process and the outcome will lead to more modernization of government services, more effective government in addition to efficiencies? Mm-hmm. And specifically, will you be able to look at a couple of the functions that seem to be of concern, such as building inspection, storm drainage, certain management functions such as information technology, where we're decades behind, the financial systems, which are sorely in need of improvement? Is there some way that you will be able to speak out, since you've had to delve through all of this, and look at those areas and then proceed as we go through the process of modernizing?
Sure. Let me answer the second question first. The commission has established a series of committees. Now, as we move toward the completion of the baseline phase, that will allow members to really become experts on specific issue areas. So, for example, Public Safety Committee is going to be diving into really that terminal level of detail on police, fire, EMS, 911, things like that. We have an infrastructure committee that is dealing with sewer, water, road infrastructure, the delivery of public works and highway services, but bridges and drainage and things like that. We have an economic development committee Economic Development Committee has actually already raised the issue of permitting and land use as areas that need to be looked at in greater detail. So as we move through the committee process, this high level of data really represents the kind of the surface of the lake, and each of these committees will be allowed to dive down in to each of those service areas and gather additional information, and that becomes information that gets shared in the subsequent options reports, as well as in the public public forums that will be held throughout the county. So that's number one. Number you're going back to your first question, though. What does the final product here on government modernization look like? I don't know. I don't. And that was exactly what I told the commission when we came and interviewed for the project. I said, if you all have your minds made up on what the answer is here and you don't want to be driven by the data or feedback you'll get from the communities, hire the other guys. Our job is to collect and synthesize the data in a way that informs the commission's dialogue and informs the broader community so that the alternatives that are brought to the table during the options phase that we'll move into in 2015 will come to the table organically. And there's actually a slide here that that I didn't get to, which shows you that broad range. So why do I say I don't know what it looks like? Well, because it probably falls somewhere along this continuum from the low-intensity stuff, more informal, more handshake. We're not sharing equipment where we can. We're not jointly purchasing capital assets where we can. We're in neighboring municipalities, but you purchased three pickup trucks last year and I purchased three pickup trucks last year. Wouldn't it make more sense for us to coordinate our capital planning thing? That's low-intensity stuff. And then we get to some of that moderate intensity stuff where we have formal contract-based shared services. You get rid of your, whatever, police department, and you contract with me, and I provide police services to you. And then you move to some of the higher intensity stuff. Maybe there are functional areas where government gets out of the business. Maybe there are things that we can learn from models like Louisville or Kansas City or Indianapolis or Jacksonville or Nashville. Right? So the reality is to deliver service and govern at a broader, truly regional level. So I'm sincere when I answer the question that I don't know what the finish line looks like. This is the basic framework that will help us design what the components of that finish line will be. But the intent here and the commission's intent is to have a very objective process, a very open and engaging process, and have these options develop organically, but nonetheless, to end this process with something that doesn't collect dust, to end this process with a specific list of priority recommendations that can be brought back to this community and all in the interest of creating a more modern, more efficient, and more effective local government system in Onondaga County.
Thank you again, B. Gonzalez, Joe Stefko, ConsensusCNY.com.